Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G Talk, and we are your hosts, Terrence and Adara, and we are coming live once again on another fine day. Glad to be with you all today. Honey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and I am looking forward to starting off our next portion of We Are the Church. It's been really a blessing, and to even hear some of our friends sharing, you know, how it's been a blessing to them with hearing, just taking us through this new phase that the Lord has taken his church to. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to share today.
Yeah, it's kind of, and you said we have the church, so it's kind of like a, that's kind of like a subtitle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in end times, but it's really about being the church. And today specifically, our series focuses on being the church. And so I think that fits within kind of what you're saying right now, because we're wanting to be the church in this season. We're feeling like the church is in a transitional time, but we want to talk about today really the importance about not so much going to church, but being the church. And I feel like there is a challenge in that in so many ways, because it's so easy, and it has become so easy for us just to go to church. And we say the church, and we think of a building, and we think of a gathering that takes place once a week and maybe a Bible study during the week. But we point people to the church. We go, oh, you need to come to church. Oh, that person needs to go to church. You know what your problem is? You haven't been to church. You know, we have all these sayings, mm-hmm. and we all know what they mean, but we really need to kind of break out of that mindset of sending people and thinking of the church as a location, but as who we are. We are the church, mm-hmm. not the building.
Right.
And so, and even more than that, not the once a week meeting that we attend, but the everyday life that we're living should be indicative of the church. We are it. When we want people to see the church, we should be pointing to ourselves, not to the weekly service.
Mm-hmm. And I believe what's happening is, even looking into 2020, is that I believe what God is doing is he is realigning our thinking.
Good word. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. That's just what I, yeah, what I'm sensing is that because decades, the church was a location,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we went. And that's all pretty much the majority of us were raised that way.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, how we've defined, you know, you talk to people, you need to go to church with me. And this is basically what we've known, and how we, as the kids would say, this is how we've rolled,
yeah,
this time frame. But as we can see that things are changing, and I think even more so as I look at China,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that they have like 50 million underground, that, and those were, I think, they started from five home groups and 50 million underground. But there's so much persecution that's going on that they've had to go underground. So there is no building. They're going, you know, right now China is going and they're taking away their building. So then what do you do?
Right. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're just the whole way in which, you know, we've done church is going to change. You know, We recently were talking with an old friend and a good friend, a dear friend that we've had. And I just went, shout out to Junette out there. Thank you. I know she's a regular listener. But she said something to me, and she's not the first. I mean, we've had a couple others, people from our, from when we were back in our old days of pastoring years ago, where she said, you know, I still listen to a lot of your old stuff. And she's like, you know, you guys were like saying things that were way ahead of its time. And, you know, someone else, I had a few others tell me that, and I've just kind of blown it off. But when she has said that, when we were having that conversation here recently, I just said, you know, Lord, that's just kind of a vision you've given us. And I believe this is the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like we've already seen and been working on this. Even when we left, you know, when we left our church, it was because at the back of our minds, we knew there was something else that God wanted to do. And it was that old model was fading out, and there's a new model that's coming. And it's taken a lot of years to just, you know, chew on it. And now I think the Lord sent us to a place where we can start, and we have been working on that. I know one of the challenges that whenever there's a new model, people have a real hard time making the shift. We want to stay in the old way. And but we're really feeling, and that's why we've been kind of gathering with people. It's like we're helping people. It's like it's time to start thinking a new way. It's time for you to start seeing yourself and seeing the church, you, differently than the way you've seen it in the past.
Seeing yourself as the church. Because, you know, one of the things I think sometimes we miss, we know that, that different people have gifts, but every gift has a place to be utilized for the glory of God. And what begins to happen and what has happened over time is that it's the shift of where it's just, it was one person speaking. And so there was just that one person who had a gift, and you probably had hundreds and hundreds of people that also had that gift of, let's just say, just teaching.
Right.
And what he's doing is he's looking at saying, I've equipped you. You are the church. He told the disciples that. And we all know that it took a process of time for them. I look at it all the way to the upper room until they were broken. That experience that they've had, you know, they had the power thing going on. They had who's the greatest. And these were big, heated, you know, conversations they were having that was exposing their heart and where they were. You know, you had one that was a thief. You had one that there was just, you know, I kind of go through the disciples. There were some that kind of stuck out.
Right.
That where their heart was. And then by the time, I believe when they got to the upper room, that encounter totally changed the way they thought. It was no more about power. It wasn't anything else about who's the greatest and we're going to do this. They really recognized, and I believe after, you know, when Jesus left, you know, when he had, when he was gone for that, was ascended back into heaven, that they recognized that they really, the gathering was really about emptying yourself and allowing the Lord to be who he needs to be through you, because it wasn't, you know, they still gathered together, but they, eventually they went out and they were the church. And so I believe what we're seeing now is that we're being pushed to be that. And it's making it uncomfortable for a lot of people, because it's easy to bring someone to church and have the pastor do the work, share it, and have a team that's really good at, we got the discipling team, you know, we have this team. And therefore it begins to kind of isolate, because each and every one of us, he has given us an assignment to disciple. It wasn't a group of people. It was everybody. Exactly. You became a follower of Christ. You were now mandated to make disciples. And it wasn't, you know, and I think sometimes what's happened over the years is that we've categorized, and so there's some people that feel that I don't know what to say, so we've kind of made them inadequate. And really at this point where we're at, he's really, it's kind of like a shaking, but it's really more to me like, I want you to, you know, reading his word in a different way of just saying, what is he saying as I read? And I'm discovering that there's a journey for me specifically. You know, he has assigned me to disciple someone, to disciple people. It's not, your responsibility. You know, I can't, it's easy to kind of, well, you're a minister, you do it, you know, or, you know, you got the gift of evangelism, you do it. It's this season is about, it's you and I, you know, and he's saying, look, I want to realign your thinking. And I'm not going to sit and say the church did a horrible job, because we've seen massive amounts of people come to the Lord. Just think of Billy Graham, and you got plenty. There's plenty that we can look at. But now he's saying, but we look to them, and we disqualified ourselves from recognizing that I want to use you. And it's something that I'm finding as I'm reading and seeing that I am the church. You know, I am the one that he's utilizing, he's sharing. This is the person I want you to share with. You know, we gather, we have friends we gather with, you know, we've gathered with at church buildings, and that's fine. As long as we recognize that it doesn't end there. You know, the gathering is great to have fellowship with friends, and we need to do that, because he tells us not to forsaken that. But I think what we're finding when I look at we are the church is that not to isolate ourselves based on our building structure, on what's labeled. Because I have found, and I think one of the advantages is that we've pastored, so we know how cliques can become.
Right.
And we've been outside of that, so we know what it feels like to not be part of a clique.
Right.
And then you realize that you can become so territorial. So I believe when he's saying, I'm wanting to realign your thinking, is that I want you to see, you know, different people are going to do different parts, but that doesn't mean that I can't have relationship because you're over there under that banner. We're under one banner.
Right.
We will have different calls, but we are under one banner. If you have a need that my gift can give you, or you need me for something, it shouldn't be, well, you need to call your church.
Right.
Because our church is we are the church.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. And I, you know, as you're listening to us today, one of the things that we're trying or wanting to really challenge your thinking is for you to begin to see maybe some of the things that you've believed in your past and the things in which you've maybe done the way you've done life and you've done the church life. We're wanting to challenge you and begin to maybe cause you to think about church life a little bit differently and how you do it a little bit differently. Because some of the things even that we've been taught, you know, there's a lot of emphasis sometimes on things which I like to just say there's not a lot of scriptural, there's not a lot of time taught or given to it, and yet we spend a lot of time talking about it. And then the things that there are things that the Lord specifically gave us a lot of time on, we don't do. And I think those are some of the things where we're saying, as the church, we need to begin living some of these things out. And perfect example, I think, just to start that discussion would be the fact that, you know, as we're talking about we are church, that the scripture is very clear that, you know, over and over Jesus says, hey, go into the nations, make disciples of all men. And, you know, you can see it in Matthew, you can see it in Mark, you can see it in Luke, you can see it in John, and it's always in red, which means Jesus himself said it. And I'm not saying that the Bible isn't the word of God, but it's, and when it's in red, I don't know. I mean, it's the voice of God right there. And he just said, go, you know, our job is to make disciples. Our job as individuals, he didn't say the building, the church building. He didn't say it's the leadership's responsibility. He just said, he looked at his disciples and says, okay, all authority's been given unto me. I'm giving you the authority, every one of you individually. Now you are to go into the world and you are to live out your faith and begin making disciples. And then he went and told them, you're going to start in Jerusalem, you're going to go to Judea, you're going to go to Samaria, you're going to go to the ends of the earth. I'm sending you everywhere to deliver this gospel. This is your primary purpose, is to go out now and bring people in. And our thinking is that that's a missionary's job. Our thinking is, well, I give money to my church And then they send money over to some guy or some lady or some couple that's over in Africa, that's over in China, and I've done my job. And it's like, it never says that. It never, there's never a place that says, send your money to someone in China. Mm-hmm. It says, you go and you go into the nations and you live out your faith. Mm-hmm. And there's a great fear around that with us. Right. There's a great change of thinking when it comes to that.
And that's again where we've categorized things. You know, I mean, even when Paul was in prison, they blessed him. They, you know, the different churches, and it was just, it was from their heart.
Yeah,
you know, it was. When they did that, and I believe in that. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah,
that you're gonna either be bold for your faith, or you're not going to be one that will walk in the faith of God. It's coming. You can see it. You can see it in the news. You can see the opposition that's arising. And when you see that, you know, he talks about, you know, he's told us that we're going to be persecuted for our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in our face now. And we're looking at, we begin to turn and look at the pastors. Pastors don't want to talk about it because a lot of pastors are afraid to talk about it in the pulpit because they're afraid they're going to be on the news the next night. Mm. You know, if they begin to proclaim what his word says, there's many that are battling with that, with the word fear.
Yeah.
With the, that because of the opposition. And he said that we would have that.
Yeah.
And so our lives are being challenged right now. I look at it as it's a great time at the beginning of the year to reevaluate or set some time aside and just say, you know, God, where am I at my walk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at my walk. Let's take a look at that. You know, when I'm reading your word, my heart, if I see things that I'm reading, my heart should become convicted for that. My heart should begin to, when I'm looking at what I'm seeing with, you know, life, that is my heart being moved to say, wow, what is it that I'm sensing this, Lord. You're wanting me to do something, not looking at we should. Because it's always easy. I remember we've had friends in the past that when they would see something, we would get called, hey, I think this would be a good thing for you to do. Mm. Or you should go and talk to this person. We think this would be really good for you to do. And so I felt like that, well, why don't you do that?
Right.
You know, that right. phone call that you made, I believe he was talking to you.
Right.
Because they came to you.
Right.
And so again, that's yeah. that part where, but you're a pastor right. or you're so gifted in that. And I don't know what to say. And he says, he told them, don't prepare anything. Just go.
That's right. That's what he said.
It's like he told them, this is, you go, and I've equipped you. I've empowered you. So I think when I look at them, I stop and I say, I need to have this time with God. You know, let's reevaluate where I am at with you. What have I been? Who have I been in my walk lately? You know, when I'm looking at, you're placing people in front of us to share his love.
Mm-hmm.
And, but part of it starts with being able to love.
Yeah.
And do I love the Lord with my heart, soul, and mind is pretty much where a lot of people are right now.
Yeah, I think John 13:35, I think if we had a scripture tonight, mm-hmm. or today that we would talk about, it would be starting there because, you know, Jesus said that he's going to, that the world will know us by our love,
mm-hmm.
that really is the beginning of who we are and how we begin to live out our faith. And somehow we've turned that into, we've gotten stuck in doctrinal things. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that, you know, we know the life of the early church, and it doesn't get talked about enough, but they had no doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
They never came around doctrine. When you went to a believer in the early church and you said, you know, why are you a believer? They wouldn't say, because the Bible said. That would never be what they would say.
Mm-hmm.
They would never say, well, the scriptures teach. They would never say that. What they would say is, Jesus was dead, and then he rose from the dead. They would be like, we saw him. We are eyewitnesses. Or if they weren't an eyewitness, they would say, we know of someone who witnessed the death of Jesus, and he resurrected on the third day. That was the standard by which they stood, and everything became real. It was, my faith is grounded in the fact that there was a man who died and was raised from the dead, and he claimed to be God, and we are standing on this foundation, and we believe that he is, and he is calling all of us to our, to him. And that was it. It wasn't all these theological. In fact, if we want to even go further, I mean, we know it because we can see it in Acts, that when there was a time that they said, okay, what is it we're going to believe? They made it really, really simple. Mm-hmm. There was only a couple of things that they asked people to believe. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, oh, you've got to believe in this, or you got to, they just said, look, make sure you're not offering things to idols. Mm-hmm. You know what? Make sure that you are taking care of the poor. You know, isn't it funny that that is one of the things that the early church required? And yet we don't even talk about it today. We talk about tithing mm-hmm. all the time.
Right.
And yet there's no record in the New Testament of tithing being taught. Yet we teach it like it's the standard. And we don't teach caring for the poor, which is taught for us to do. And these are things that we're saying. Mm-hmm. God wants us to live the word.
Right.
He wants us to get back to what his word said and not what we've turned it into. And doctrinal things are not it. What he was asked us to do is to love people.
Right.
And what we're hearing from the world right now is one of the big things they're saying about the church is that we don't love.
Right. It's said all the time.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's repeated. You hear it. I run into it probably several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't, you know, it's the rules and it's the lack of love. And therefore, you know, I can go, you're finding more people looking, and it's crazy, but you're finding more people looking at themselves that, you know, really I'm the only person that I can depend on. They're looking at other gods.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, my meditation is really because I'm empowering myself.
Right.
I'm finding that, you know, that this particular object helps me relax, this particular thing. And it's like, you know, and these are people that I know that have had relationships with God.
Right.
But they have seen so much of no love, or that there was so many things they had to do, that we missed a part of knowing that we are a son and daughter of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend more time needing to learn how to be a son and daughter of God. And you find yourself that the rules keep growing, they change based on wherever you go.
Yeah.
And you just throw your hands up in the air. And what we've done is we've made rules instead of letting people see that when you became a follower of Christ, you know, God is now your father.
Mm.
He doesn't change his mind when I mess up. He's not looking at, you know, well, you didn't do enough sacrifices. You didn't do enough prayers. You didn't do enough fasting. You didn't, you know.
Right.
What we're seeing in for all of us, it's a big, as we talk about realigning ourselves to what he said.
Right.
What he said, because when we realign that, then we're going to recognize that I'm his daughter. I'm his son.
Yeah.
And he loves me. And when you know that, you can't help but, as you read, to then want to be,
right,
because you know who you are. You can't help but want to love when you know how much he has loved you.
Hmm.
You can't help, because you recognize I am his daughter. I am his son. And I want to please him. You
right.
know, it's
right.
not like I have to. I want to. And right. it's a big difference.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And, you know, having the Spirit of God change our hearts to the place where we are, you know, finding opportunities and finding ways to mm-hmm. really love people and loving them where they're at, not so that we can change them.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, you know, will do the work of changing. And we've mm-hmm. seen that over and over again. All we need to do is love people and find ways in which we can help them
right.
without an alternative motive. You know, and to me, that's where sometimes it's like, there's always, you know, there's this ulterior motive that we see oftentimes in the church. Oh yeah, we're out there doing stuff, but why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, you're trying to build your church, trying to build. It's like, those are the wrong reasons. It's mm-hmm. loving people where they're at and allowing God to deal with them in his own time, in his own way. We mm-hmm. want to get them all done in a week, right? Or really the same day. I want to mm-hmm. get a statement of commitment out of you, and I want to get you to say the prayer. And it's like, look,
discipleship is a process.
It is a process. It really is. It's a friendship that should turn into more. And it never right. maybe becomes, you know, where we have to have it, you know, solidified and termed. And, you know, it's just caring for people in that way.
Loving them. And the discipling part is relationship.
It is.
A lot of times I think, and as we're closing, mm-hmm. is to recognize that he may assign you one person.
Right.
And you will be shocked at what they do for the kingdom because you spent the time. And a lot of times we'll look and say, well, I've only discipled, or I'm discipling. And you'll have some saying, well, you should be doing more, but you find out that they're not doing anything. And I really want to just encourage you that it just pause and see how the Lord will place someone in front of you when you say, Lord, I just want to be a disciple. I want to be a fisherman. I want to be a fisherman of men.
Mm-hmm.
And if you begin to just say, this is what I want, I guarantee somebody's going to pop in front of your face and say something so off the wall that you will know that, all right.
Hmm.
And to know that I want to lead them your way.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to make them like me. I'm not looking to give them these rules. I just want to love them and guide them through the word of God.
Mm.
Because he said, you know, that he will draw them. He will, we're part of that body to impart into their lives. They're going to have roads, they're going to have valleys, they're going to have hills, just like we did. But the fact is, discipleship does require a lot from us, and a lot of times we want to put them over and allow somebody else to do that, and it's not. We're all called a disciple.
Mm. Amen. Great. We'll stop it there. We're all called to disciple. We just want to leave that thought with you. Continue to pray and ask God to show you and help you in whatever way. We love you. We thank you for listening today. We'll pick it up again next week as we continue to talk about end times and how we need to be living and the things in the church, becoming and being the church. So have a great week. We love you, and talk to you next week.
G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.